Glad you can hear me.
Thank you very much.
My name is Steve Mapulana. I'm just appreciating the long name, Steve Mapulana.
Okay.
I would say the culture here is honorable. My Semanopoli, and on my right, it's an honorable member of parliament.
Okay.
Who are sitting in this ad hoc committee. I'm not going to introduce them for the sake of time.
Okay, thanks.
Now, we are going to ask you in total questions. We've got 30 minutes to go through all the questions. And just a way of introduction, we would like you to tell us about yourself.
Okay.
Who are you? Your background? Why do you think you're a suitable candidate for this position? Basically, convince us why you should be appointed. You've got only 3 minutes to do that.
Okay. Thank you very much. My name is Dani Bimini. I live at Tumlazi. I am an educator by profession. The reason I applied to be a board member of the NYCA is that since I'm an educator, I have identified some of the challenges that young people are facing every day. And then I said to myself, maybe I need a platform where I can contribute in terms of making a point in these challenges that we are still facing as a country. We need to overcome them. One of the challenges that I have identified is that young people, they lack a lot of skills. When I speak about skills, they go directly with the issue of not understanding the career guidance. As a result, they ended up doing courses which are not in demand in the market. And then I said to myself, the NYCA is a platform where young people can be given a chance, where we will have a program going to school so that we can educate these young staff in understanding which are the careers which are in demand so that they can contribute into the well-being of the economy. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Are you done?
Yes, I'm done.
Okay, all right, that's good. Honorable Mohammed. We are tired now. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Ma'am, the mandate of NYDA derived from the NYDA Act. Could you please elaborate the provision of the NYDA which outlines the specific functions that are expected to be executed by NYDA? Secondly, the performance of the NYDA. It's on the record that NYDA is performing, other people are saying it's not performing. Will you be in perception? I want to check from your side. In case you are afforded an opportunity to be a member of the board, if the performance is not good, what will you do?
Okay, thank you very much. Let me start with the issue of the mandate. When you look at the Act, Act 54 of the NYDA, it talks about a few things. One of the things that the NYDA needs to do is to look at the integration of the youth development. Number two is to make it a point that they encourage young people to participate in the economy, also to look at the issue of skills development, and also to look at the issue of giving opportunities. We are talking about the issues of gender. The NYCA is also mandated to make it a point that they integrate their programs with the programs of the youth in South Africa. When we're talking about the performance, I think we need to look at the twofold of the statement. Yes, there are some people who are saying that the NYTA has not performed. Some others are saying that it has performed. But I think my view on that one is that when we are looking at the performance of any institution, we need to look at the success story. But the truth of the matter is, when you are looking at the NYTA as an institution, you go to rural areas, young people, some of them, they don't even know what is NYTA. So I think if I can be appointed an opportunity to serve in a board, one of the things that I think is crucial is to make it a point that the NYTA is accessible to young people, whether they are in a rural areas or they are in urban areas, and they also understand the mandate of the NYTA, because you find out those who know the NYTA, they don't understand the mandate of the NYTA, because I think that young people, as much as they can say that the NYTA is not performing, but on the other side is that the NYTA is not making their priority to make it a point that young people have access to it. I think we will have to deal with the issue of accessibility so that they will understand the mandate. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Can I please request you to switch off after you have responded, because this mic must always be on, and there can't be three mics on at the same time, there will have to be two. Honorable Mpambo Sibukwana.
Thank you, Chairman.
I hope you'll pardon me.
I think with your practice, you, by the end of this day, you'll be able to pronounce accordingly.
Definitely so.
Monitors. You seem to be passionate about the youth. And for me, that is a very good sign that you will deal with the bottlenecks that the youth is facing. And should you be afforded an opportunity to be on this board? I just want to ask you, one of the main things on the National Development Plan that it highlights is the fact that the young population can be advantageous to have for this country on an employment, provided the majority of the working age individuals are gainfully employed. You know exactly that one of the main things that we're facing as a country is the unemployment of the youth. With this in mind, taking into consideration the current labor market situation in South Africa presently, what can you recommend to ensure that the public and the private institutions prioritize employment for the young people, and that they take them, both skilled and unskilled, with the aim to reduce the youth unemployment? What could you do for those communities? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. I think that is a very important question. When we are talking about the stats, they are telling us that the number of young people are unemployed. When you are looking at the skilled and the unskilled, but I think moving forward, we need to have a mechanism where we will increase the number of SET, because I strongly believe that young people, they don't have the knowledge in terms of the skills that they can acquire into these SETs. There is still this notion of thinking that we all have to go to the universities and get degrees and everything. Whereas there is nothing wrong with having a degree, but I'm saying that the market now demands that we need to have more people with skills. That's number one. Number two, I think we need to make it a point that we partner with the private sector and government in terms of making a point that when we are looking at these internships, there needs to be a model in the sense that if I have done this internship, after that there needs to be a way of assessing whether did I get the knowledge or what. I'm saying this because a number of young people have done these internships, but when you look at the young people after doing this internship, in terms of do they access employment, what is happening to them, you find that a little number of young people also get employment. Another thing which is also crucial that we need to encourage our young people to be part of is to create employment. When we're talking about creating employment, we are saying that we also need to look at sectors where the disadvantaged young people are not entered. When you are talking about the issues of economy, where you are saying that young people need to look at all the sectors, because right now when we're talking about young people, they will tell you about these small businesses which are not in the job market. When we're talking about young people becoming entrepreneurs, we need to say, let us identify sectors which have scarce young people which are entering there, so that we encourage young people not for them to have this this emblem running around the CK where they are no longer getting employment. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kaul.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Let's talk good governance. We would like you to unpack your understanding of good governance, and in so doing, tell us how you would assist that in the NYDA, the practice of good governance becomes the order of the day, and also tell us about your understanding of the principles of good governance. So it's sort of three in one, your understanding of good governance and how you would assist in applying that theory, bring it to practice at the NYCA, and what are these principles of good governance? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. I think when we're talking about a good governance, that is where we are looking at the issues of transparency. That is where we are saying that all the institutions, especially the public entities, they need to understand their mandate, that they are accountable to the public. Whatever they are doing, people must know. Coming to NYDA, I think when we're talking about transparency, young people need to know the problems of NYDA so that they can relate to them. Number two, I think when we're talking about a good government, we are saying that we don't need to have corrupt officials, because this is one of the things that makes any institution to collapse, because we are living in the time where when we're talking about the resources are very scarce. And you find that in those scarce resources, then people are using this money for other things. So I think it is very important to look at the issue of corruption-free entities so that these programs can continue. Also, to continue on the good governance, I think it is also important to look at the appointment of people with skills, because that is another challenge. You may have good documents and policies, but as long as you have people who are incompetent, you cannot reach your goal. So I think NYDA as a public institution needs to also to commit itself in making a point that when they employ people with skills who know how to do the job. Moving forward, also my understanding on good governance is that when we're talking about good governance, we are also saying that these people who are working in this institution need to understand that they are public servants. Being a public servant, it means that you forget about your own desire and you put people first in everything that you are doing. Because you find that institutions like NYPA, they are not reaching out to young people because of some of the personal agendas that arise from members or board members at a particular time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable. Thank you.
So thank you very much, Chair. Good day. Good day. Are you good?
Yes, I am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, thank
that's
you.
That's good.
That's good. I'm good.
Like your spirit.
My question, I've got only one question. The NYPA Act gave mandate to the NYPA board to develop an integrated youth development plan and strategy also, and also to come up with a guideline for the implementation of this strategy, and also make recommendations to the president of this country. Can you then, in your own understanding, elaborate more on this integrated youth development strategy and why it is important in the development of the young people in our country? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. It is important because when we're talking about an integrated development youth strategy, it will deal direct to the challenges. It deals with the amicable solutions as to how to overcome the challenges that young people are facing. My understanding is that the mandate of the NYPA is to make it a point that when they do that integration program, first they need to make it a point that they contact with the youth structures, because you can't just theorize everything. You need to have people who are interacting with young people to come up with this problem, so that at the end of the day, whatever goals or targets that we have set, you'll be able to say, okay, I am now assessing or looking at what is it that I put. Is it assisting young people or it is not assisting young people? Thank you very much.
You, have you seen the integrated youth development strategy? Have you read it?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Thank you. The next question will be from Honorable Mwadi. Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, Ms. Mier. Only one question for you around the National Youth Policy, the 2015-2020 vision, which was developed for all the young people in the country so that it addresses the imbalances of the past. I want to know from you, in your own understanding, what are the objectives of this policy? And say you get appointed to the board, in your own view, what the board should do to achieve those objectives. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much, sir. I think when we're talking about young people, we need to understand that young people out there, they need problems. Number two, when we're talking about the National Youth Development Agency, we are saying that one of the things that they need to make it a point is to look at young people, how can they make it a point that they accept in the economy, so that at the end of the day they can contribute to the GDP of the country, and also to look at the issues of inequality. Because when we're talking about the issues of inequality, as much as we still have laws, that talks about that, but there are still a lot of things that we need to do in that regard. And in terms of what do I think the NYCA should do in making a point that those things become ready, is that they need to look at their strategy in order to have programs that will deal direct with those things. Thank you very much.
I'm a bit worried, madam. Yeah. Honorable Zungango asked you about the national youth policy objectives. So I thought you would talk to that, to say, this is the policy, this is what the policy say, or these are the issues that are contained in the policy. Not to be general. I don't know whether you want to give me the answer. The reason why I'm saying that even the first one of the strategy, you're a bit more general, so I would like you to just focus on the question, the policy. Just talk to the policy, what you understand to be embodied in the policy.
Okay.
Yeah, let me give you another try.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Okay, to address the issue which was raised by Honorable Mwad, is that when you read the policy talks about the issue of young people participating in the economy. It also addressed the issues of gender, and it also addressed the issues of skills in terms of how can young people access the skills. That's how I understand the policy. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. The last question will be by Honorable Mkondi.
Thank you very much, Chair President. I'm agreeing to this. You know, here in South Africa, I did not hear that Honorable Mkondi. No. I thank you.
Oh, okay.
And then after that, I greeted the.
Oh.
We've got what we call Business Service Development Agency Act that is over now. The National Service Development Agency Act has principles which guide the work of the youth agents. But within the process of the implementation of those particular principles, there are contestations in the country on the direction of the achievements of those particular principles. Now, this contestation goes into a situation where it ends the image. It bends the image of the youth agents based on the implementation of those particular principles. Now, if you are being employed to be a member of the board, what would you do to save the image of the National Youth Development Agency?
Thank you very much. My view on that one is that when you look at the act of NYCA, it needs to be reviewed. Why am I saying it needs to be reviewed is that when you read it, it says that the NYCA is a lobbying entity. It does not have powers to implement some of the things. To me, that is the challenge that I think also the past board has faced, because when you are saying that you are given a mandate to lobby, it means that, for instance, if you have a problem that says, okay, by this time, this is what you are going to do, if the department are not complying with that, the NYCA does not have power to hold, for instance, those departments accountable for that. And also with the private sector. I think we need to sit down and look at these principles, because at the end of the day, we can say that the NYPA is not performing, but not looking at the issue that some of the principles within the NYPA are hindering the process of the NYPA. Because to me, when you don't have a power to implement, it means that it's like you are a dog with no teeth. That is the challenge which I think is the first thing that the newly appointed board needs to take it into consideration, but also looking to account with the process, because we're only talking about law. They can't just go to the boardroom and say, we are now changing this, but following all the processes of amending the act of the NYPA. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was the last question. Ms. Bandile. Yeah. I just want to ask you something here, but first I want to find out, besides being an educator, what else do you do? Are you involved in structures of youth development?
Thank you very much. Besides being an educator, I'm also involved in a number of NGOs. Two of those I initiated. The first one is targeted young people, where we are looking at the issues of teenage pregnancy and also the career guidance. The other one, which I also initiated, it has no gender, where we are looking at the issues of assisting young people who are doing matric. I have a lot of friends who are assisting during weekends in terms of educating these young staff, especially in commerce, which is my field.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, Ms. Muyeni, when the committee has resolved that all the shortlisted candidates must be subjected to security clearance, yes, so that process has been done by the authority responsible that you have tasked. They've given us a report. And now, according to the report that they've given us, it indicates here that you have a criminal record of the offense is assault, and then how it was. The outcome of that was that you were found guilty. Now, I just want to confirm whether this is true.
Yes, that is true.
Okay.
Maybe I can be afforded the opportunity to explain.
Yes, okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. I am a former youth activist of Zululand, a student, a leader. It happened, I was a SRC candidate president. And during that time, I think honorable members here can witness in terms of understanding that the student politics in that institution at that time, I'm not sure about now, it was so hostile. And it happened that in one of the nights, I was coming from the library, and then there were three guys which were wearing, I don't want to name the political party they were coming from. And then they came to me and then they said, okay, what do you think you are? And I said, what? And you are contesting SMC election in this institution. It happened long time ago that a female and we hate the political party you are coming from. And I was like, why are you saying this? And then one of them pushed me. There were three. And then I said, what are you doing? And then I woke up there and I was defending myself. After that, the next morning I get a call from the Mfunzini police station. They said that I need to come there. And I went there and then they said someone opened a case. And I said, what happened? And then someone said, you just had a fight and everything. And then I said, oh, okay. I went for the case. And then what happened in the case is that the institution did not allow people from outside to intervene into student politics, but it happened because on the day of the case, they came with a lawyer. And then I came with myself and then I said, okay, it happened, but there was nothing major that happened. And then there were also witnesses on that one. And then the court said that
when
was this? It
was
2009, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Okay.
But there was a trial, there was a guilty verdict that was handed out in the magistrate court. Was it the magistrate court?
Yes.
Okay, so you didn't appeal this outcome?
No, I didn't appeal for two reasons. The first reason, it was financial constraints, and then another reason, I'm not saying to me it was a minor thing, but to me I did not see anyone who had come, because when we're talking about what happened, no one was injured and everything.
Okay.
And then they managed in the court to say that I am guilty. After that, there was a written warning which was given to me. After that, we came back to the institution, there was a forum which was established by the office of the
Deputy Attorney. The difficulty you are having is time. Unfortunately, we are willing to listen to the entirety of your story, but the problem is time. So we just wanted to confirm that this indeed is a true reflection of your record. Did you disclose it when you submitted an application that you have got a criminal record?
I did not disclose it because I did not have the information in terms of whether it can affect my application.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
But you did read the advert?
Yes, I did read the advert.
All right. Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, we will go through the discussion as a committee, make our report to Parliament. The name is recommended to Parliament. If Parliament agrees, they will go to the President. And then the President is the one who appoints.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you very much.
You're calling them. Okay, can I?